Kobayashi, one of the organizers of this fine event, another OG member of the Japan Real Estate Experts panel crew. And I think, if not the only, definitely the most well-known renovation, bilingual renovation company, serving currently only Tokyo and Kanagawa, or have we expanded?
Oh, we are in Saitama, Chiba, Tokyo, Kanagawa. If you make it worth my while, I'll go further.
Yeah.
But you have to make it worth my while. So like beach, good food, things like that, I can do it.
All right, thank you. I'll leave it to Blanca to introduce herself.
So thank you very much. My name is Blanca Kobayashi, and I am the half of Agriform. My better half sits over there in the back. That's my husband right there. And together we started Agriform in 2021, basically right after, or even maybe during the process of renovating our own house, we realized that there is a huge gap in the market where you just cannot find a renovation company that you can speak with in English. You can discuss with them projects in a language that's comfortable to you, and also that you cannot find workers that would be much more flexible than the typical Japanese. I don't want to talk stereotypes, but you know, if you are dealing with a Japanese reform company, there's a lot of dame, dekinai, kind of not really a way and things you want to hear when you are planning to discuss your project. We've been through this and we realized that it's not a way to go, and we started Agriform. So at this point, we go to Chiba, we go to Saitama. You see, that's my husband right there. Chiba, Saitama, Tokyo, and places like that. This time, I decided to talk about smart renovations, sustainability related to it. And that's basically because there's a huge need for it. Again, one of those typical things, if you're dealing with a Japanese reform company, they're gonna come, they will remove the old thing and put in a new thing. God forbid you wanted to reuse any of that. It's just not going to happen. I had recently an experience where we had a client that had a triple door, beautiful wooden triple door, and wanted to make a single door out of it. My Japanese contractor, because I obviously don't do the work myself, so my Japanese contractor just wanted to throw it all away and order a new single door. And we were standing looking at him like, why? And he's like, oh, because that's the way it's done. I'm like, but it's just not, this is not even a question of money, but it's just not economical. It's not, you know, sustainable. Why would we throw away a beautiful new door? You can literally do this and that and it will work. There was a lot of heavy breathing, but we did manage to do that. So in Japan, what happens, most of foreigners that are buying properties here are buying old properties. And these properties are then, again, most of the time being used for minpaku or any kind of rentals, short-term rentals, long-term rentals, but you're going to kind of need to figure out how to make these properties work for you in the best sustainable way. Also because the point of why you're using it might change within the time, or like maybe in the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years. So you want to know that you've done your renovation in a way that it's actually reusable. So you want to do a little bit of a smart planning when you're doing it, but you also have to do it in an efficient way right now because of the earthquakes. Last time I was talking about the new amendments. So you have to comply with that. So don't think that you're going to buy a old house that it's falling apart and you knock a few walls out and you are all good. It does not work that way. In Japan, you need to make sure that the house will not gonna fall on you or your guests because of the earthquakes. So you have to take care of that. And now what we all want when we're buying properties, whether it's for us or for business, we want to make sure that it's not gonna eat us in bills. We've actually sold one house just because the electricity bills were so high, we were hating living there. So what you can do right now, you will adjust the renovations so they are energy efficient. Japan is not as far as Europe, where you have to have like the A, B, C energy efficiency stamps, but they are getting there. They are now requiring more and more properties to have the energy efficient, things put in place. Right now, it's mostly with a huge industrial buildings or office buildings, but I'm very sure that soon they're gonna come to that when it comes to residential properties as well. So if you are planning renovations, it's actually very good for you to already think about that. And it will also help you decrease your bills. So if that property is a rental property, is your business property, you will also increase your ROI. So that it's really, really important when it comes to thinking about renovations and why doing smart renovations really matter. I'm gonna put on glasses because I'm blind. So what's happening in the Japanese market right now is that there in Tokyo, we do not have the problem. There is still a high demand for properties in business in Tokyo, but outside of Tokyo, especially in the rural area, there is kind of reduced demand for buildings. And with that, if your market is Japanese people are not interested in old buildings. Somebody asked me why Japanese people do not want all those beautiful old houses. Well, it's basically the same thing if somebody was asking you to walk around the city in your national folks costume 24/7. They just don't want it. It looks great. You know, you can look at it, but it's just not practical for them. And they don't know how to do maintenance. They don't want to deal with it. And the cost that is related to it, it's also really high. So it's going to be mostly the foreigners. They're going to buy the old houses very often because they don't understand what's going on. Ziv already talked about it. You really need to do your due diligence when you are buying any property, and you have to figure out, the structural work. Really, a huge percentage of buildings are sold without structural checks. I had that experience about 4 months ago. I went to speak with a young couple that was in the process of buying a property. They were literally right before signing. So they were like, you know, basically close deal. We just need to do the paperwork. We want to fix this. We want to do this. It's going to be minpaku. And then I came there and I realized the paperwork for the house was only for one floor, but the house was two-story building. So sometime during, the house was built pre-1981, so you already know that, okay, the house was built pre-1981. Then sometimes during 80s, the owners just put an extra floor on top of that building, but didn't have any paperwork to it. The roof was leaking. The flooring from that second floor where the roof was leaking was kind of all rotten, but they thought it's not a problem because they didn't think of doing structural, and the owner did not have it done, clearly, and they just didn't think that it's necessary. So that is a problem if you don't do the structural, but foreigners, they usually kind of go for it because they have higher hopes in the properties than Japanese will do. If you go like the further you go out of Tokyo, you will see beautiful large properties for very little money. And that's usually because there is just no demand for it. In Tokyo, you can still find a lot of properties also for a good price. But then you have to think about what you want to do with the property and if you can afford the renovations. So that is a very, very key factor. And you have to, if you want to do it for business, you have to key in, factor in the cost of the renovations into the cost of your build, of your building and of your business plan. When you will do, when you will do all the planning, right now you should start also in, putting in like the smart ideas and the sustainable ideas. You should try to check how your building's gonna reflect to the carbon footprint, because a lot of investors right now are interested in that as well, in case you would want to resell the property, because a lot of people also are buying your properties. They're gonna fix it up, they're gonna sell it. So if that is your, if that is your mode of business, you have to think about that as well. And then of course, well, the rising renovations cost. Those of us here that we do renovations, we know how much the materials went up just in the past 2 years. Every 3 to 6 months, it's almost the same as food. We all know that from October 1st, for example, over 3,000 food items went up. It's very similar with all the building materials. So the rise of the renovation materials are going up steadily. That's why right now, for example, when I give clients quotation, I only tell them that it's valid either 1 or maximum 2 weeks, because I just cannot guarantee you the price if you wake up in a month's time and you realize, oh, Blanca gave me quotation, let's go with that. It will most probably change in maybe not much, but few some percentage of the price will probably go higher, not lower. So you need to think about that as well. And then we need to start paying our people a little bit more, because they also need money to live on. So that is kind of one of the factors you have to put in. But as the saying says, that in actions cost you more, because if you don't do all these things for your properties, you will have lower rents, because for an ugly rental property, you can definitely charge less than you can charge for a nice property. And so you will, if you have a nicer property, well renovated, well fixed up, you will have higher higher occupancy, and you will have higher return on investment. So it makes a lot of sense to renovate smartly. Smart renovations means that it's kind of, you are doing more than just that kind of cosmetic fix up. It's not just wallpaper or, you know, putting a new carpet. You want something that is efficient, that, you know, it's like a new technology, because especially the newer generations, if they come to a property that had, that is a smart property, they love it. I'll never forget when we went to LA and we stayed in a hotel and it was all Alexa. Everything was, it was like a smart, smart room, and our son was just loving it. So if your audience is kind of younger generation, you want to have all these little things there, because that will really, really attract a new people. Tracy is speaking tomorrow and she will tell you how the little details make a huge difference. So right now, for example, the IoT sensors, there is so many smart technology. So having your property and turn it into a smart property will make your life easier. Of course, smart lock is just the first thing, right? All, I think all Minpaku owners love smart locks, because you don't have to be there when your clients come. You give them a code or you open remotely. You can check who is actually coming in and out of the property. And that makes a huge sense. That, that saves you money on labor, right? So again, lower cost, higher profit for you. There are sensors that you can attach to your air conditioning, to your bulbs, to everything. Why is this important? Especially in Japan with high humidity and all over the world, you know one thing, people will be very, very frugal in their own homes. But once they come to a rental property, they'll have the AC going on 24/7, because they are not the ones paying the bill. So you kind of want to be able to maybe remotely turn off the AC when you know that they are not in the house. You might want to check that the lights are off, things like that, that will save you a lot of energy cost. So having a smart home or smart property, at least in some of the main things like AC, lights, ventilation, door, you've already saved yourself a lot of cost. Of course, you need Wi-Fi for that. And you need somebody that a little bit understands it, because this is technology and technology goes off sometimes. So you need to have somebody that is able to go every now and then and reboot it. The smart technology is also able to use, kind of collect data from your properties every now and then, and sometimes tell you, well, maybe you should check on this and that, which will give you an option to do a maintenance before those things actually break down, which is also saving you a lot of money. So with this, you'll be able to save money on energy, save money on labor, because you will not need to have somebody coming to your property all the time. And you will have predictive maintenance, which again, saves you cost and increases your profits. So we've done, for example, a one house in Tomisato, in close to Narita, and it was a beautiful property. And we only did some of the smart features there, which basically was the air conditions on and off, smart locks. They had one extra, so we had one smart lock at the front house and then extra smart lock to kind of the owner's quarters, because she had her own, she was not renting, it was not a rental property, but it was their holiday homes, and she had her own bedroom, and where she didn't want it the rest people or visitors to come to. So we had two smart locks. We had the sensors for the air conditions and then cameras, so she could be monitoring the inside of the house and also outside of the house, because, you know, it was quite a big property and they had like 5 parking spots outside, and there was a company across and they knew that they are not there very often and they used to like to park their cars there all the time. So we've done that, and it was really, everything went really smoothly, because you buy your equipment for all the smart switches and locks and everything, and then you buy a special hub that you connect to your Wi-Fi, and then it all works through your phone. So it's actually not that difficult. It's not even as expensive as one would think. You just really need to have a good, stable Wi-Fi, which right now everybody has in their homes as well. When you are researching all these things, you will also realize that you can actually get financing for that. You can get tax breaks for it. And all that is easy to find out if you visit the city hall that is wherever your property is. I just had a call 2-3 days ago from a company that is focusing on Tokyo, for example, and solar. Right now, Tokyo, they give funds for green energy, and so they have a green financing program. If you were to put in solar panels on your house in Tokyo, this company specializes on the fact that they will go with you through the whole process. They look at your house, they'll tell you what you need, how much you can get out of it in terms of electricity, if you'll be able to put something back to the grid. And then, of course, they will tell you how much it's going to cost you, how much you can get the grant from the government. They will help you to get the grant as well. So they do all the paperwork for you, because the grants, any funding you want from the government, the paperwork is quite crazy. So you will get the grant, they will help you fill in the paperwork, submit. Of course, they want a little cut from that. And then they also help you to install it and manage it. So if you are planning to do any of these works, there is another grant in Tokyo for inner windows. You can get that one as well. So you have to, what you need to do is basically you come to your city hall and you ask them, okay, for the next 6 to 12 months, what programs are available and what is the capacity as of now? Because they might tell you that they are doing financing for something, but if the grant is already full or almost full, by the time you are doing the work, because you have to do the work first before they give you the money, by the time you finish, the grant might be already completed. It might be already taken out, so you would not get anything out of it. So it's kind of, it's a good idea to find out at what stage they are, so you have time to finish it. And you also, you know that it's already not taken by other people. Here we are talking about one of our houses that we just did. And that was very, very lovely and special property in Tokyo. And over there, that was just the simplest thing we were able to do. And that was an extra windows. It's not always that you can do, you can change the windows, especially if you're buying a mansion or you're buying like an apartment. Inside an apartment building, they will not let you change the windows because they will tell you unless the whole building is changing the windows, you cannot change the windows. Even if you promise them you're going to change the same thing, you cannot. You can't physically take the windows, put in different ones. So if you are buying all the property, it's mostly going to be single panel windows that are not great. They, in the summer, they let all the heat in. In the winter, any heating, everything goes out. And then if it's windy, you know, like, it's just not fun. So the easiest solution to that is to put in extra windows. Normally, you can see it on the, you can see that on the pictures. The windows always in Japan, they have like an extra space. And that's where the window goes. So we measure the windows really nicely. And then this one is done by Lixil. So Lixil will basically custom make those windows and fit them in the frame. It has a huge effect. This house that we've done, was, kind of three floors, three story building and all windows, quite small rooms. So basically a lot of windows and it was hot. We worked here in the summer, in the peak of Japanese summer. And I can tell you it was hot. Even though we had AC on, it was hot. After we put in the inner windows, the temperature in the house changed rapidly. Like we were honestly able to keep the cold air in and the house became habitable and nice. I don't know how, because we just finished, so I don't know how it's going to fare in the winter, but I'm quite sure that it will be much easier to actually be there in the winter and keep it warm. So the small, and it's just the small thing of putting in extra windows. So it makes a huge impact on your property. With that, lower bills, higher profits for you as the owner. So as I've been already saying, there is a lot of different grants that each city has for people. Tokyo, for example, they really try, because Tokyo has a huge issues with, for example, using too much AC, because that, you know, the outside units of the air conditions, they are hot. So that increases the temperature in Tokyo. So if they can help people to use less air condition, so having insulated houses, inner windows or double triple windows, using less electricity or having solar instead of taking electricity from the grid, they are willing to pay you for that. So they have a lot of subsidies for people like you that are renovating houses. So you can check that they just need to, they need to help people to change the renovations and change properties to become more green and more sustainable. Also, if you are planning to resell the properties when you have them, when you have a green building or more electricity sustainable building, you will be able to sell it better for a better value. So that will help you a lot when it comes to reselling. With what we had in April, the change of the amendments, you do have to really take care of renovating buildings that are pre-1981, the Qtaishin buildings. So when you are fixing these buildings, the insulation, all different kind of ventilation and everything, and that, like then the systems, especially the ventilation systems, it all makes a huge sense for you to invest into digital energy management system. So you can make your research about that, and then depending on the size of a property, you will implement that in your renovations. If any of you is interested in buying office buildings in Tokyo already have far stricter requirements, and they really do require you to have the lower carbon footprint. So be careful. I don't do, like, for example, we don't really renovate big office buildings. We can do like one office if you were to, set up a new office, but we would not do a whole office building because that is a completely different beast and requires different permits. So we don't do that. But if you are interested in buying an office building, then make sure you do a proper research about all the special requirements, and especially now the sustainability, because Tokyo, because of its increasing heat and everything, they are putting more and more pressure on property owners. Here, again, I'm kind of repeating myself, but yeah, this is actually, that's the picture of the beautiful Tomisato house. Right now, what's the most important for you would be to check for grants that are for installing solar panels, green roof. If you have a roof that you can make into a green roof, Tokyo will actually give you extra money for that. I don't know who has the space for it, but it's great. And that's again because it actually lowers the heat. So it's really good. If you are doing some barrier-free upgrades, depending on the building, on the type of building, you can get extra funding or extra subsidies for barrier-free upgrades. And then smart building management for small and medium size buildings. All these programs, they are available at your city halls, or there is a lady in Turkey, she's bilingual, she was here last time, she's not here today, but she focuses on grants and subsidies, and you can actually hire her if you have a bigger project or you want to get some grants in Tokyo area. You can hire her to investigate the subsidies for you for a fee or for a cut out of the money you will get. So what should be your strategy doing it? When you are doing any renovations, you need to think about energy upgrades in terms of insulation and efficient ACs, efficient ventilation. And that will reduce the heating or cooling cost and will reduce your utility bills. To achieve this, you can look up for subsidies from your government. Then implement the IoT sensors and the smart management apps, which right now, this we've talked about it. So it's the turning your property into a smart home and saving costs with that. Also, very important, modular design and flexibility. What does that mean? Basically, if you have right now, you are thinking you are renting that property for some reason. Well, in 3 to 5 years, you might completely change your opinion, or, you know, your situation might change and you will need to use the space a little bit different way. So when you're doing the renovations and you're, you know, breaking walls or you are adding walls and stuff like that, try and do it in a way that it can be easily changed. Yeah. In Japan, foreigners, they love knocking walls. That's one thing I've learned. They love knocking walls, beams and all that stuff. Don't do that. But when you are changing layout or anything, make the layout in a way that you can easily change that layout if need be. So you can expand it or you can make it smaller. So that way you are actually future-proofing your assets. You are securing yourself in a way that if you need to do the renovations 5 years down the line, not renovation, if you need to change the layout or change the purpose of that property, it will be easier for yourself to do it. And when you are doing it, try and actually reuse and recycle materials. I know that's going to be Anton's topic tomorrow, because Anton is the king when it comes to reusing materials. He sources a lot of used wood, flooring, all that stuff, and uses it in his properties. So Anton is the king when it comes to these things. So those of you that are here tomorrow, I'm sure you will see how you can actually take a old flooring and with a little love and a lot of work, you can make that happen. So that is actually a great way how you can also save cost of your renovation, but be more ecological and sustainable. So when you're talking about returns of investments on of sustainability, for a short term for you is just a lower cost of, you know, the utilities and stuff, but medium term it will give you stronger yields, and long term it will give you a better asset longevity and future proofing. The future proofing is about the layouts and stuff that I was talking about. So, and that it's all because Japan is changing and the whole demolition rebuild is not happening that much. Also because a lot of people are buying properties that can no longer be demolished and rebuilt. I'm sure we've talked about rebuilds a lot last time, but it's basically those are properties that when you're buying in, there is a clause that it says non-rebuild. And a lot of it was, again, even amended with the April changes. And that means that if you buy that property, no matter what, you cannot knock it down. And they are even stricter on... because before it was like, oh, if I leave one beam, it's still considered a reform, not a rebuild. Yeah, well, no, not anymore. Especially with the old buildings, because now you have to have that paperwork, the permits, they will not let you do that. So they will not give you the permit to basically knock everything down. They will tell you, no, that it's no longer a reform. So they are far stricter on these things. So you have to be careful when you are planning to do these things. So quick takeaways. Well, sustainability is the only way to go anyways. If we are not thinking about future and how to be more sustainable and more economical and ecological, you know, we're going to leave this planet in a horrible state. So we have to be more careful about that. We have to try and renovate old properties in the, you know, nicer way that we can, you know, solve the issues. Japan has so many aging houses, and in general, it's us foreigners that they want them, not the Japanese. So with doing smart renovations, maybe the Japanese will catch up in like 5 to 10 years. We'll see how that goes. And for us, we are actually preparing assets for, you know, our future, whoever's going to take over from us. So invest wisely, renovate smart, and renovate sustainable. That's all from me. So, yes, 35 minutes.
Thank you, Blanca. Do we have questions? Could you please raise your hands? Okay, moving on. Meanwhile, people on the stream, if you have questions, write them in. This is the last session of the day, but we'll have more Q&A tomorrow.
I have a property that's 24 years old. Is there any cost efficiency to doing renovations before trying to sell the property? Is it worth it?
It's usually not worth it to renovate property before you're selling it, right? Unless you literally bought a horrible state, you're reforming and you're just going to flip it. If you have an existing property that you want to sell, don't renovate. It's not worth it. You will not be able to add or get the value out of the renovation in the cost. And usually people, when they buy property and used property in a way, they'll just want to renovate it themselves. I wouldn't, no.
Emil's explained to us on one of our JREP sessions, on a few JREP sessions actually, that the renovations that you have in mind are almost always not going to be what your buyer even wanted.
Literally.
So there's not even a point to try and guess.
Your taste is not the buyer's taste. So
my question was, hey, Blanca, you were talking about grants and you were talking about, I think, the aligning the timeline so that financially it would make sense. My question is, what is an ideal timeline for applying for a grant application so that you can offset the costs of the renovation?
You would want the grant already to start, but not be too long before the finish, right? So depending if you're going to be the one doing the paperwork and all the submitting or not, but try to go towards more like to the beginning of the grant, because you actually need to finish the job and submit the receipts for them to give you the money.
Okay.
So at least for the grants that we were talking about, the grant has to be already in place, how else would you know the grant will be there? So the grant is already ongoing, but before the grant finish, you have to submit the paperwork. And when you are submitting the paperwork, you have to submit receipts.
Okay, so I would have already purchased the property and already made contact with a reformer to have reformed the property, and pretty much maybe, but if it's about, let's say, 90% finished, I would apply for the grant?
Depends how long your contractor takes.
That's right? Also true.
But you want, yes, because you want to give it like a month to 6 weeks, you know, at least to have that. So for them to have the time, because also the city halls and, you know, the departments don't work that fast. Mm-hmm. But usually your contractor might be even able to submit the paperwork for you. You can find out if they can do it or not, or they will refer you to somebody that can do that.
Okay. Yeah.
And the grants, they are not like 3 months grants. They, you know, they're at least 6 months or whatever. It's not a short term thing, because they know people need to get prepared for it.
Okay. But ideally you need a property and
have to have that. You cannot just say, oh, I actually want to buy something. Do you want to give me money now and maybe I'll do it? You have to prove that you've actually done it already.
Okay. Done the reform already.
Yes. You have to, like, so if you want your solar, you actually have to install the solar and have the receipts, how much you paid for them to give you part of it.
Okay. So it's really a reimbursement then.
Yes. Okay. So Yeah, it's basically a reimbursement.
Okay. Oh, nice. Yeah.
You better make sure it's still there. That's why I said you have to make sure that it's still there, right? Because if you realize that the grant is finishing in 2 weeks,
right,
you know you're not going to make it.
Right. And when you say the grant open, you mean like the application period?
Yeah, because the city hall, they usually have websites where the grants are listed. So that's where you will find it.
Mm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Further questions, further hands. Going once, going twice. Yes, we have. No, nothing on the stream. Okay. Oh, yes, Robert.
Blanca, when you say in a window, you mean like double window, like yes. Jiu Madol?
It's literally an extra window. So what we will take, where you have the window frame, we will put in an extra frame and a window. So then basically when you are opening it, you have to open two windows. But that's in a lot of the mansions and houses, it's the best way to go, because you cannot, especially with the apartments and mansions, you just cannot change the windows unless the building decides to change all the windows. So it's the only way to go. You could do yours, but then, you know, you would have to knock all those things outside.
Well, we're thinking of doing it just for the bedroom in our house.
Yeah, so just do the inner, do an extra window. So it's basically like an extra window. It's easier than be breaking and ripping out the whole window, and then you have to fix the facade as well. And you know, it's a lot of extra work. Whereas this one, very easy. 2 weeks usually takes the delivery of the window. So from a measuring order, 2 weeks you have the window in, and very little mess. Very little mess.
All right, thank you.
Welcome. I have a question about the IoT. Mm-hmm. If you lose your Wi-Fi, is it, how devastating is it? Is it that technologically advanced or not really?
Well, if you lose your Wi-Fi, you cannot monitor, like you cannot on and off, right? If you like, okay, the smart lock, for example, if the person has the code or has the card, the smart lock will work. But if you don't have a Wi-Fi, you cannot remotely open the door. You cannot remotely on and off the AC. So the AC will still work, but you cannot do it from a distance. That's why I'm saying, like, it's great for Minpaku, because you can like on and off the things yourself when need be. But, or if you're doing it in your house, you can put on the AC remotely 20 minutes before you get home. So when you come home, the air is fresh, but you need Wi-Fi for that. If you lose the Wi-Fi, you cannot do it from your phone. All the things still work, but then they would have to be manually put on and off.
All right. One question from a shy lady in the back of the room. That case study that you presented, were those owners renovating for a particular purpose? Was it their holiday home or where they live, Minpaku?
Which one? Was it the big house in Tomisato or was it the Bunkyoku where we did the inner windows? Bunkyo? They were both houses.
They were both houses. Which one? First one or the second one? Can you tell us about both?
Well, the Tomisato property, it's a holiday home. The family does not even live in Japan. They come here, let's say, twice a year. And they just want to have they are quite wealthy family. So they just want to have a beautiful home when they come to Japan for those 2 times 2 weeks.
They're not renting it out at all?
Nope.
No.
Nope. They are not renting it. They are not doing anything with it. They just have it for themselves. And the second property in Tokyo, that's going to be a Minpaku, but it's going to be also kind of like, because it's a very design property and it was styled by Tracy. Gorgeous.
I was going to say, sounds like something Tracy would get into.
Yes. Oh my God. Like if you, by the time we are done with everything and you'll see the before and after pictures, you're just not going to believe. It's a beautiful property. And because the former owner was a quite famous architect in Japan, the house is very unique, very unique. It plays on lights. It plays on design. So one of the plans, except Minpaku, is also to be renting it for shoots or for special meetings or meetups, parties and stuff like that. So it's a very unique concept because it's a very unique house.
Thank you. We have time for one more question if anyone's got anything. And otherwise, I will let you know. First of all, thank you, Blanca.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
It's on, yeah?
Yeah. Okay, so we just wanted to let you know that we are supposed to be out of here by 5 o'clock, but Andy has kindly agreed to accept us earlier than 6. So officially, the gala dinner starts at 6 o'clock at Andy's Shin Yamamoto, which is just around the corner from here. You can Google it or follow us. But you don't have to just wander around the neighborhood. If you'd like to, you can get into Andy's